Colossians tonight, the book of Colossians chapter 1, and I appreciate you being here, and I believe in your heart you have a desire that you are saved, indeed to finish well for the glory of God. And I will say this, if I don't finish well, if you don't finish well, it'd be nobody's fault but our own, amen? For the Lord has given us everything we need to finish well. He's given us the indwelling Spirit of God, He's given us the Word of God, He's given us the local church, and we ought to finish well for the glory of God tonight. Amen. And I appreciate the good singing by the Jones family tonight. Colossians chapter 1, you will and able stand tonight. And I will read several verses here and then in another chapter of this same book. And we'll pray, try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. I began studying on a different individual in Scripture. And then as I studied, come across this man I want to look at tonight. And God really began to burn this in my heart for this Wednesday night service. So you pray that the Lord will help us and give us all receptive hearts tonight. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The Bible said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, have grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and you knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Then look over Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 12. Bible said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Also look in the book of Philemon's now. Book of Philemon, verse number 23. That is between book of Titus and the book of Hebrews. So that's where the book of Philemon is. Philemon and reading verse number 23. Philemon and verse number 23. Bible said, there salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. Thank you for the good song that Zion had, the congregation, the choir, the special singing. Lord, I pray now for just a little while. Give me a traveling mind through the scripture. Bring all that you desire for me to remember and preach tonight. Enable me by the Holy Ghost how to preach the scripture that you put in my heart tonight. I pray, give us hearing ears and receptive hearts. I pray you save that soul that's nearest hell in this place tonight. God, may we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Help us to be a better Christian, a better soldier of the cross. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We found here in these verses a man by the name of Epaphras, and he is a little known individual in the New Testament. Matter of fact, in the verses I've read and you're hearing tonight is the only references that we have for this individual. But what Paul did say in these verses has great value and great weight to it. Here is a man that loved God. Here is a man that served God. Matter of fact, we learned some things, and let me give you these by way of introduction, and then I'll get to my verse and preach and give you the title. We find as Paul is writing about Epaphras that he mentions, calls him three things. Number one, he calls him a fellow servant. There in Colossians 1 and verse 7, as ye also learn, Epaphras, our dear, our fellow servant. Brother Paul, Paul was letting us know he is laboring with me. We're not laboring against one another, but we are working together. Amen. Matter of fact, listen to this. That word fellow, it does mean a companion. It means an associate. It means one of the same kind. It means one like another. So Paul said, Epaphras is just like me. He's got the same heart for God, had the same desires for God. He is preaching the same gospel I'm preaching. This man is just like me. We are fellow servants. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me tonight. We are fellow servants right here at Gateway. They're not big eyes and little U's, big shots and little shots. We're sinners saved by grace that have the privilege of preaching and sharing and witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are fellow servants tonight. Amen. Paul said we're working together. He said we have the same master and we're subject to the same divine authority. Amen. Hey, we're serving the same God. Now, I can't say that about everybody, but for you that are saved, we serve the same God. Amen. And we are submissive to him as our master, as our Lord tonight. Oh, listen. Now, I know the progress reports are different now from school than it was when I was there. I'm old enough. You got what they called the report card. And on the back of that card, they had several things. Do not pay attention in class. I got checked on that a few times. You know, follows directions well. Not a whole lot, but every now and then I got a check in that box. But then there was this one, and this is what Paul's saying about Epaphras here. He could say it like this. His report card would be checked. He works well with others. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that should be said of you. That should be said of me, that we can work with others well. I want to tell you something. You become an isolationist, you will die alone. Amen. If you say, I don't need nobody else, there will be a day you'll need them and there'll be nobody to turn to. Amen. Hey, we're in this thing together. We are fellow servants. Amen. I am a servant of Jesus Christ, and so are you tonight. Oh, we have the same master, the same Lord, the same goal. We are fellow servants. But he also says in Colossians 1:7, he's a faithful minister. Boy, what about that? Who is for you a faithful minister of Christ? Boy, you talk about something good to be said, that you're faithful. Amen. I want to be faithful. This man Epaphras here was a faithful minister of Christ. Now the word minister here means one who executes the commands of another. It means to run on errands. It means an attendant. Amen. That's a minister. Boy, we a lot of folks say, I want to have that title, minister. Good. It means you serve. Amen. Oh, you said, preacher, no. It means have thought. No, it means you serve. And it said, this man is a faithful minister. He's faithful. Listen to this. It means, ladies and gentlemen, as a preacher, and that's what Epaphras was. He was a preacher. But even if you're not called to preach, you ought to be a faithful minister. Amen. Do you understand the one that cleans this building will get just as much reward as a preacher will one day? I mentioned a little bit about that verse where Jesus said, give a cup of cold water and you wouldn't lose reward. Imagine that, a cup of cold water. By the way, the word cold is there for a reason, let you know it's going with a little bit more effort. You can just get room temperature water pretty easy, but he said cold water. He said you went to the extra, you went a little above, amen. Hey, everybody can do that. I've known people, listen to me, that are faithful, that never say a whole lot at church, but they are a faithful minister. That's right. This man was that way. He was trustworthy. This man was consistent. That's why he said faithful. He was dedicated. Oh, listen to this. It means he can be relied on. Hey, we need to be reliable, all of us. Hey, I know we can't always get there when everybody needs you right then. But listen, we ought to try and strive and not on the pulpit, but the pew. Amen. Oh, friend, listen, he is a fellow servant. He's a faithful minister. Then there in Philemon, he said he's my fellow prisoner. He's my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Hey, two things about that fellow prisoner business. Number one, yeah, he spent some time in jail with Paul. They had prison ministries. They just run them from the inside. Amen. Man, their prison ministry was so successful, it shaped the jail. Amen. I mean, put guards under conviction. Amen. Hey, well, Epaphras is with Paul. Whenever he left Colossae, wound up in Rome, he gets thrown in jail. What about that? Ain't none of us had to go to jail for the gospel yet. But we're suffering, aren't we? Nod your little pointed head like this. Everybody, it's so rough. I'm having a hard time. What's your hard time? Tell me what your hard time really is. Let's talk about it a minute. What is your hard? My bills are piling up. Who run them bills up? We all right? I mean, he didn't. You don't pay nobody else's bill, right? I mean, just the ones that have your name on it, right? That means that's your bill. Amen. That cable, all that, that's you. Amen. Well, preacher, God said he'd supply all my need. He did. He didn't say he's going to pay your cable. Let me even share this with you. You realize he said in the Gospels that he'd provide food and raiment. He didn't say nothing about a house. He didn't say nothing about a job. Hello. Go back and read your Bible again. He said, I'll clothe you. I'll give you some food. Amen now. But we're having a hard time for Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Oh my. Epaphras and Paul went to jail. Why? They were being disrupted. They were given the gospel. That's why they went to jail. And they had the real thing. So when they got put in the jail, they just witnessed him that's in the jail. Amen. Hey, our generation, we'd sat around and whined. Say amen. If we'd been Paul and Silas in the jail that night after getting stripped and beat, and, you know, we'd sitting there, Brother Ben, we said, I think I got two more licks than you did. That bigger guard beat me. Amen? But no, not Paul and Silas. But at midnight, they said, let's sing a psalm a little bit. Let's sing, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the door, the city of the great king. They went to singing them psalms. Amazing Grace wasn't wrote yet. Makes good preaching to say that, but just wasn't so. They sung psalms. Amen. And they prayed and praised God. You mean shouting in the jail? Oh, yeah. They went to worshiping. They went to praising God. And God shook the jail on their account. Amen. Hey, Paul said he's a fellow servant. Paul said he's a faithful man. Paul said he's a fellow prisoner. And they also say this about being a fellow prisoner. He said Christ has captivated his heart too, just like he did mine. Amen. Can I ask you a question? Has Christ captivated you? I'm going to tell you, I ain't never met nobody like him. He got my heart one day 36 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, I love him more than I did then. Hey, I want to be more like him now than I did then. Oh, friend, I'm captivated by the Lord. Amen. Oh, friend, then may I say this, and I'm trying to hurry to get my thought. We're normally done by 8. I may have to go hair over tonight because I really got something I want to share with you. Amen. We also find in these verses I read to you that we notice about Epaphras was first in Colossians 1. Said he was for the believers of Colossae. For he said that in that verse, who is for you a faithful minister in Christ. Hey, he was for the believer. Can I say something? Won't you look at me tonight? I am not against you. I am for you. Amen. Even when I preach them hard, what you call hard messages, straight messages, them that say step on your toes, whatever you want to call it. Hey, I do it because I'm for you. Amen. I love you. Somebody love you will tell you the truth. Amen. Amen. Somebody really loves you will preach this Bible like it is just to you, like you are. Amen. Hey, Epaphras was for the believers at Colossae. Now, that, let me say this. Over there in chapter 4 and verse 12, he said he's not only just for the believers at Colossae, but he's one of the believers in Colossae. For it said there, Epaphras, who is one of you. He was a believer. He was one of the converts there at Colossae. And he grew in grace. He is one of them tonight. Hey, I'm glad to be one of them. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Amen. Now, I'll say this. Some folk, they don't really know what to be an old-time Christian is. They think it's their tradition. It's way beyond that. Because, see, I'm going to tell you something. Church world has changed through the years. I remember when they voted to put padded pews in. Lord, you thought we took the mark of the beast. Hello. I remember when we voted to put air conditioning in. Oh, my soul, we're going to close the windows and the doors. Oh, having fun on old furnace tonight. Amen. Hey, that being an old-time grit is that you believe that Bible and you practice that Bible. You declare this Bible. That's what an old-time Christian is. It ain't got a thing to do with your building. Some folk don't have the privilege to have a building. They're in a mud hut. You hear me? Some folk don't have the niceties that we have. Hey, thank God for what God gave. But I want to be a biblical Christian. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm one of those old-time believers. Let me say also in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, he said this also. He talks about Epaphras again. He said he's friendly to the believers in Colossae. For he said there in that verse that he saluteth you. He's friendly. Boy, thank God for friendly Christians. Everybody ain't mad at the world, and everybody don't hate everybody. Amen. That's right. I met some. I wasn't real sure how they felt about nobody. Amen. And they just always had a scowl on the face. I thought, my, did you get saved or did you get sad? Amen. Hey, it gets sweeter, not sour as it goes. It gets sweeter as it goes. Amen. He was a friendly person to the believers at Colossae. Well, that gets me to my verse in Colossians 4, verse 12. Here's one bring. I thought, now I just got a few minutes. I've got to hurry. The Bible said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect, complete, in all the will of God. I notice in this verse that he's praying. He's a praying man. And I got dwelling on that. And there's some things I noticed in that verse. And I want to preach tonight just for the few minutes I got left on the prayer warrior. The prayer warrior. This man was a prayer warrior. Now, I'm going to say something. You will not find the term prayer warrior anywhere in your Bible. Okay? You'll not find the word Bible in the Bible. We still all right? You won't find the word rapture in the Bible. They are just words that describe events and individuals and things. Hello. Nothing wrong with those terms. The prayer warrior is a person who is given to prayer. Amen. And we need more of them. We need more prayer warriors now than we've ever needed, because that's the weakest in our churches across this country. Where folk used to give theirself to prayer, they give theirself to entertainment, they give theirself out to work, they give theirself to school, they give theirself to everybody. But we need some folk give theirself to prayer. Amen. The prayer warrior tonight. Well, let me give you a few things. First of all, the prayer warrior is a person of prayer. They pray. Amen. And the Bible's clear about that. A servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Plural. He's not praying one time. He's continually praying. He's a person of prayer. The Bible declares us in Matthew chapter 6, and he says this in verse 5, and when thou prayest, he didn't say if you pray. Amen. He says when thou prayest. He's expecting you to pray. Believers are to be praying people. Amen. Most time that's a last resort for a lot of folk at church. Yeah, you've maxed out the credit card. You've gone to every doctor and specialist you can. And now it's come down to having to pray. Amen. Somebody says, has it really come to that? Amen. You know what? We probably save ourselves some money, save ourselves some tears and some heartache if we first sought God before we done a lot of things that we do. Amen. Hey, he said, when thou prayest, now he warned, don't be like the hypocrite, don't be praying to be seen. Amen. That's verse 5, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Hey, he's saying, getting that close. Now, preacher, why is he saying the close? He's saying you're getting somewhere where you're getting away from everybody and everything else. You're getting alone with God. Amen. I hope you've got such a place. I hope you have a prayer place in your Christian life where just you and God meet together. Oh, my soul. There ain't nothing like that place. Man, I love. Hey, now listen, I'm going to deal with the maybe what you might call the negative side in a minute. But listen to, there is that new man in you that love that place. Amen. When thou pray, he said over there in the book of Luke, Luke 18, in the latter part of verse 1, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Amen. So the prayer warrior is a person of prayer. Then let me say number two. I don't got a lot of time, got a lot of pages of notes. Amen. Number two, Ephesus was persistent in prayer, because that's what a prayer warrior is. He's persistent in his prayer. Notice back in Colossians 4, verse 12 again, he said, always laboring fervent for you in prayers. Always. That's persistence. Amen. Understand something right here. He's faithful to pray, not sporadic in prayer. A lot of folk, it's sad to say, are sporadic in their prayer life. Amen. That prayer warrior, they are known for their praying. Not that they advertise it, not that they tell it, it just folk know. I've known people through the years and have heard of other people down through the years. There's people who prayed, and when they passed away, the undertakers made note how callous their knees were. Amen. Now, I will say this, you don't have to just kneel to pray. It comes time you can't kneel, you can lay on your face, you can sit, you can stand, you can even walk and pray. But the thing is, you're getting along with God. Amen. Hey, persistent in that. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 said to pray without ceasing. You say, preacher, how can I work if I've got to pray all the time? That's the attitude of prayer. Hey, I want to tell you something. Somebody's learned to pray without ceasing. We'll find themselves in the day when there's just a month. Next thing you know, they're talking to the Lord. Amen. I mean, have you just kind of caught yourself and you've been talking to God? Amen. I'm not just talking about this and that. Super. I mean, during the day. Amen. There used to be a time before we had all these cell phones. Somebody's talking in a car. You thought, well, it don't look like they're singing. So who are they talking to? Right? Hey. Hello, folk, talk to the Lord. Amen. Hey, we find, again, Luke 18:1, we ought to pray and not to faint. Persistent in prayer. Them old-time prayer warriors have their place and their time, and you will not interrupt it. That's right. What do you allow to interrupt your prayer time? I know you ain't going to cut cartwheels. Shout, I'm trying to help you tonight. The prayer warrior, he's persistent. He's going to pray. He's got the time. He got the place. He's going to seek the face of God. Amen. Hey, let me say this. Number three, there's a pull to pray. Man, I've experienced that. I've got along, started my day like I try to every day in prayer and reading of my Bible. Boy, I just feel the good Holy Ghost. Son, this seemed like ringing the prayer bells in my heart. And man, I felt my, hey, God, I've had audience with God. I've gotten the Holy of Holies. And ladies and gentlemen, there ain't nothing like that. And I've left that prayer place and hit sometime 10 minutes, sometime 30. Man, that pull on me again. I just want to get along with him again. Want to talk to him. Preacher, how do you get there? By being persistent, it'll cause a pull in you after a while. Amen. Thank God for that pull on the inside to pray. I find myself, God's woke me up in the middle of the night and go off by myself and pray and go back to bed. Boy, Holy Ghost said, we ain't done yet. Let's go talk to him some more. And that pull's strong on the inside. Oh, friend, if you ain't experienced, you need to pray. Let God get you that place. Hey, ain't nothing like it. Hey, there's the prayer war's a person of prayer. It's a persistent to pray, and they have a pull to pray. Let me say this, they persevere in prayer. Mama said there in our verse, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Persevering. Listen, those two words, laboring fervently. Listen what it means. It means to struggle. It means to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary, to endeavor to accomplish something, to endeavor with strenuous zeal. Hey, I said, there's a fight in the prayer place. You talk about spiritual warfare. You're going to find out what it is when you go really praying. The devil hates you and he hates you praying. And he wants to keep you out of the secret place. Amen. Hey, the prayer warrior learns to persevere in prayer. Ain't a giving up. I'm going to keep praying. It may be a battle today, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to go at the throne of God again. I'm going to pray until God gives me an answer. You see, your prayer closet is not the drive-thru at McDonald's. You're not going to rattle it off and go the next window and pick it up. Amen. Sometimes, yes, they're instant, and yes, thank God for those times. But other times, you might pray a while. You may have weeks. You may have months. You may have years praying over something. Amen. But the prayer warrior just persevered. Said, God, I'm going to come to you. You remember where that one had somebody showed up at midnight and he went to his neighbor and he called him friend. By the way, y'all look at that Texas capital F. That's somebody other than a normal neighbor. He said, friend, I need some loaves of bread. And he said, man, it's late. But you know why he gave him the bread? He kept on knocking on the door. He said, I got to have bread. I got to have it now. I want to tell you something. There is something. Listen, when God ain't just told you flat out no, and you're still praying about, hey, you keep knocking till the door answers, and somebody says, yeah, all right, what you want? Amen. Oh, friend, the persevere. Hey, the place of prayer is a battleground. For these words, labor and fervent means a place of striving, a place of agonizing, a place of wrestling, just as Jacob did there that night till God touched him. I want to tell you something, boy. Let everybody look at me. When's the last time you prayed till God touched you? When's the last time you sought God until, man, hey, the answer came? Oh, the prayer warrior, he perseveres in prayer. Sometimes the answer's quick. Sometimes it's a long, drawn-out process. One of the best Bible examples of that is Daniel chapter 10. Daniel, that great man of God. Daniel, that man that God gave wisdom to and let him become into rulership in the kingdom and everything else. He prays, and over days and days go by. He fasts. He don't even take a bath. And man, there's just no answer. There seemed like no help. And when the answer comes, the answer is this: I heard you the first time you called, but there's battle going on. Talk about the king. He's talking about the devil himself. You listen to me, sometimes in our lives, friend, the devil and the demons will fight you in the prayer place. You say, I don't believe all that. I don't care if you believe it or not, I'm right. What are you going to do with Daniel? Hello, if Daniel was the man he was, and he was, and he had that going, what in the world thinks you better than him? Sometimes you just got to persevere in prayer. It is a battleground. Every day you ain't going to want to pray. Every day you ain't going to feel like praying. You ain't going to, hey, some days you're going to know God heard you. Other days you feel like your words are just dropping off your tongue and slamming the floor. That's right. Hey, friend, tonight we need to be prayer that persevere in prayer. Let me say this. I'm about done. We got to have that. We see the purpose for prayer. The prayer warrior has purpose. He's not praying where he can tell everybody I pray. He don't pray, so he said, I checked off 30 minutes, I checked off an hour today, I had 5 minutes here, 10 minutes. It is not about that. There is a purpose for prayer. What's the purpose? Look at our text. He said, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hey, the purpose that this man as a prayer warrior, first was that the believers would be steadfast. He said there that you may stand. You know what? We need to pray for one another that we'd stand. People are compromised. Folk are falling by the wayside. And while we nitpick and why we try to come up this list of do's and don'ts and all this other rigmarole, hey, I'm telling you something, friend. We need prayer warriors that'll pray for other people. Amen. Hey, I've had prayer warriors in my life. A lot of them are dying off now. There are just a few of them that I know are prayer warriors. The Edwards family will be back with us every Sunday after Jubilee. Miss Anna, I know she spooked a few last year. She went testifying. She's okay. She's a prayer warrior. She still goes out back her house up on the hillside under a laurel thicket at her age. That's right. She got a Ziploc baggie full of preacher's cards with their names on it. And she prays for them individually. Amen. That's right. Hey, she got a purpose. Thank God for folk praying for me. Thank God people praying for you. Hey, you understand they are people. Nobody's praying for them. Amen. Hey, there's pray that we would stand in these evil days. Hey, not all that, but that we mature. For he said this, that you may stand perfect. That word perfect is not sinless perfection. That is not what's talked about here. It is talk about maturity. It's about growth, mentally, moral character. It's being full grown. Grow up. Amen. You know what's happened? Paul talked about the church of Corinth that they were babes. Now, if you just got saved, being a babe is not a bad thing. That's just where you are. But when you've been saved 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you still a babe in Christ, you've got a problem. Amen. You need to grow up. And the reason you're not grown up is you won't want to. I'm not being mean. I'm giving you the text, okay? Still preaching the Bible. Amen. Hey, he said, I'm praying that you'll mature, that you will grow up in the Lord. Amen. And he said also he's praying purpose, his purpose of prayer is the will of God. For he said there, and complete in all the will of God. He said, I want you in the will of God. I'm praying you to be in the will of God. Hey, there's not a better place than the will of God. You listening to me? I'm happy in the will of God. It don't matter me where it's at. It don't. There's tough times wherever you are. But I want to tell you something. You can find true contentment, satisfaction in the will of God tonight. Can I just throw this at you? And I'm about done. They're about to get out over yonder. I preach long than I ever have in a long time, but I got a lot on my heart tonight. The best place for the believer is the will of God. For you see, the will of God is the source, the standard, the strength, and the satisfaction of the believer. That's right. Hey, friend, listen to this. Now I'm done. I want you to get this. After all this outline, all I've been talking about the prayer warrior, he's a person of prayer, all these things. Listen to me. What prayer does, here's three things I want to remind you of that prayer does for you. Number one, it develops spiritual faculties and leads to spiritual maturity. You say, I want to grow up. I want to be a mature Christian. Get in the prayer place. That is where you're going to grow. You will never grow. Listen to me well. You will never grow when you don't pray. You be real honest with yourself. All the struggling, all that's going on in your life, how is your prayer life? It develops spiritual faculties, prayer will. Hey, listen to this. Number two, prayer makes the presence of God more real. I'm going to tell you something. I have been in the prayer place. When I got out of me and went into the Holy of Holies, don't get nervous. I ain't talking about out of body business. But I'm telling you, there is such a thing as getting in the Holy of Holies when it's you and God. Son, there ain't nothing like that. If you ever get there, you won't go back there. But you'll have to die to you to get there. You'll have to submit yourself to His Lordship to get there. I promise you that. You won't be the hot shot calling shots trying to get in the Holy of Holies. Amen. It will make the presence of God more real in your life. Number three, it reveals and makes clear the will of God. You really want to know the will of God? Are you praying? You reading your Bible? That Bible's God speaking to you. Prayer is you speaking to Him. Amen now. Hey, you want a will? He'll make it clear. He will reveal it to you in that prayer place. That's how I know where I'm at. I'm supposed to be. I met God in the prayer place. Amen. It ain't about my feelings, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes my feelings are wrong. But He's never wrong. Amen. Hey, here's a final quote, and I'm done. You can get your kids. W.H. Griffith Thomas, here's what he said. Now listen to this. I talked about the Word there just a moment ago, didn't I? Talked about praying in the Word. Listen to this. The Word is the fuel of prayer and will promote, inspire, and encourage us to make petition for ourselves and intercession for others. That Bible and that place of prayer are more important than anything in your life. Oh, God, give us prayer warriors. If just one out of this congregation tonight, I preach to the right crowd. There ain't no need preaching this on Sunday morning. If they ain't got no more concern than just showing up Sunday morning, don't come back Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they don't care about revival, don't care about jubilee, well, you ain't going to make a prayer warrior out of them. But that crowd is wanting to be here. That's who God wants to talk to tonight. We need prayer warriors. Matter of fact, all the talking you do, all the murmuring, the complaining, the backbiting, gossiping, tail-bearing, all that good stuff, I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would happen if you quit all that mess and talked to the Lord about them. Oh, it's too much fun talking to other folk about folk. That's why you're doing it. You're enjoying it. It ain't about you concerned about them. Don't lie. I'm not being mean. I'm being honest, though. I ain't never forgot. There's two men you don't want to talk about other preachers around in particular. They're a lot bolder than I am. One of them's in heaven now, Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr. and Brother Sammy Allen. You go talk one day right after the Jimmy Swaggart scandal hit the news. These preachers having a luncheon in Asheville, and one of the younger buck preachers again barking his mouth and talking about it. And he looked down the table at Dr. Sexton and said, "What do you think about it?" He said, "Brother," said, "I think we need to pray. And won't you be the one to lead us? And you pray for him personally." You ought to try it next time somebody comes by gossiping and tail bearing, griping, growling about it. Let's pray about him right now. And you lead us in prayer out loud so that we know you really are praying for him. Amen. Oh, let's be prayer warriors for the Lord. If we want Jubilee to be successful, I believe it's going to have to be bathed in prayer. That ain't us just calling to some kind of special prayer time. Lord, help us. Those are good. Those are needed. When God touches the heart, that's great. But you need that daily in your life, just you and God. When's the last time that a prayer was answered and you know you prayed about it? Amen. I've had those calls. My wife would tell you, I'm not playing games. I'm not putting on. I ain't trying to be somebody. I've had those calls. Somebody come and say, "Preacher, this is serious right now. You've got to pray." And I've gone up and began to agonizing with God and prayed. And I mean, I wrestled and I prayed. And man, when I finally get the other call, found out their life literally was in the balance. Lady was in birth and it got bad. It went south. It was some bad things going on. Boy, I felt that in the prayer place. I don't mean I'm a great Christian or a great prayer warrior, but I want to tell you this, I do pray. And you need to pray. If we want God to do something for our church, we need to be praying people. Praying people. Amen? Quit, don't be a gossiper. Hey, have you talked to God about it? I say this and I'm done. Primitive Quartet had a song back in the 80s. I loved it. One of my favorite songs. Go and tell Jesus on me. When my faults and failures, you see. If you are a brother, oh, I like this line, don't go tell another. Go and tell Jesus on me. Amen. I hope you sleep well tonight. Let's stand. Father, thank you tonight for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, I thank you for touching my heart in the secret place and in the study today. Lord, help us to pray one for another, love one another. Lord, you said this world will know we're your disciples because we love one another. Lord, help us to bring glory to your name. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, this altar's open. Maybe you're not saved tonight. Man, I tell you, be a good night to get born again. We as God's people may be burdened. You may be burdened about something tonight. I'm glad for the old-fashioned altar where we can come talk to the Lord while Brother Tim sings, leads the song, whatever's on his heart. This altar's open, you come.